praising our Savior all the day long. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 18. And it says 1838, but I want to start with 33, just so you'll have the context. John chapter 18, and let's start at 33, and we're going to read down through 38. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" This is when Jesus is appearing before Pilate, his trial, before he was executed. "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Let's pray. Oh Lord, we come now to the time of looking at your word, which is the holy word of God, infallible and inerrant, the word that's been given us from you to show us the truth, to lead us to life. I pray that by your Spirit you'd open these words to our hearts today, that you'd lead me in what I'm about to share, that you'd give us all understanding, Lord, that you would bless this time. Make it fruitful. Help us to catch what it is you're trying to say to us today. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. So over the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at why we believe. And the first of those weeks, I talked to you about why we believe in God in general and why we believe the Old Testament is accurate and it's a book of God. The next week we looked at why we believe in Christ and the New Testament. And then the third week I shared with you how I personally came to believe and have faith. Well, today I want to discuss the very concept of what it is we believe in, the truth. The very concept of truth. We've been talking about why we believe the story of the Bible, but well, you know, why should we believe that story? And the truth is that today there are so many interpretations of everything in the Bible that I'm sure a lot of people think, well, you know, who can really know what the Bible says? I mean, there's 1,000 interpretations or more of what the Bible says. So how do you know which interpretation's right? How can you know for sure? And that's what the title of this message is. Can anyone know for sure? So we're talking about the truth. And the question is, can anyone know for sure? Now, I want to point out that we just read here that Jesus said, just a couple verses before Pilate said, "What's truth?" He said, "I come to bear witness to the truth." So he said that. He was here for that purpose of bringing truth. And of course, Pilate was dubious. And I don't think Pilate was that different from a lot of us today. A lot of folks today are dubious and they say, "Truth, right?" Like, what is truth? In John 14:6, just a little bit earlier, before Jesus was arrested and brought to Pilate, he told his disciples, he said, "I am the truth." He also said he was the way and he was the life. And so I suspect that Pilate understood really that Jesus was the truth. I just kind of think he did, because his wife sent him a message and said she had a dream about him. And we see over and over that he tried to let Jesus go, but because of political expedience, you know, he was unable to get Jesus released, and he had to end up condemning him. And so I suspect that Pilate understood a little bit that Jesus was truth and that there is such a thing as truth. But what we see here is that truth didn't really direct his life, did it? You might I think it's safe to say that his life wasn't about pursuing truth. His life was more about his own desires, what would get him ahead with his superiors, and his own aims in life. And I suspect most people's lives are mostly about those kind of things. My life, what I want to do, not a pursuit of truth. But Jesus said he came to bear witness to the truth, and he also told his own disciples he was the truth. If you think about that, you know, I was pondering that. What does that mean when Jesus said, I'm the truth? And I'm sure there's a lot to it, but what I was kind of thinking was that when he said he's the truth, he meant he's the one that shows us what life's really about and what is real and what's eternal and how life's supposed to be lived. That's what he meant by saying, I'm the truth. He didn't mean he was teaching some scientific truth or something like that. He meant he was showing you reality, the reality of human life, that we were made by the Father, that we're supposed to live oriented to the Father. The life's supposed to be about God, and we should be obedient to God and so forth. Jesus lived that life, so he's the truth because he shows you what's real and what's life and what the purpose of life is and all that kind of thing. And he also said he was the way. And early on, Christianity came to be called the way. And that's where we get more of a sort of an understanding because, again, he was showing us the way to live, the way to relate to God, the way to eternity. Really, he's showing us also that the whole thing of the Bible is true, that this life isn't all there is and this world isn't the way it's supposed to be. This world is fallen. We're supposed to be in paradise with God, and we will be one day. So all of that, to me, when Jesus said he's the truth, that's what he's communicating to us. But in our day to day, you know, we live in a time when pretty much everything is suspect, isn't it? I mean, I'm on Facebook every day, and I watch the news every day. And basically, I've forwarded stuff that people sent to me, and then I found out it was a sham. You know, basically anything you say, somebody will say it's not true. No, that's stupid. It's the other way. It's not this way. It's that way. And every single news story, there's a dozen opinions of it. And, you know, what the president did was good. No, what he did was terrible. These people are criminals. No, these are the good people. Those people are criminals. You notice that? Every story you hear today, you got to check the agenda of the person who's bringing it to you. Like, what's his agenda? Is he a Republican? Is he a Democrat? What's he trying to do here? Oh, he says this dude. You notice these people are accused of everything. Every week, these people. I sometimes think the politicians must be the worst people in the world. Because every week somebody's being accused of raping somebody, molesting somebody, robbing something, stealing something. It's like every week these people, there's something they did, you know. I mean, we're all sinners, but, you know, it seems like some people are more sinners than others, if you notice that. But some guy gets accused of something, two women accuse him. You don't believe it anymore. You say, well, you know, those women, what side are they on? And so if they're on the opposite side, oh, then I don't believe their accusation. But if they're on my side, then I say, oh, listen to these women. You need to listen to these. So today, there's very little we can trust. I mean, everything is contested. Now, I just got done with my Master of Divinity degree. And when you do scholarly study, you learn that. That's one of the main things we had to learn is that every opinion is attacked and there are opposites to it. So you have to do your research and make sure you're not just saying something yourself. You got to find out, are there lots of other people who back that up? Are facts out there? Do they back it up? Or what other books say this and so on? It's important. Well, when it comes to religious matters, the situation's really worse. It's really even worse if it could be, if anything could be worse. Let me tell you why I say that. First of all, we have many world religions. We have, you know, five or six major world religions with hundreds of millions of adherents to each. And so they all say their religion's right. Okay? Then even with Christianity, we have Roman Catholic, we have Eastern Orthodox, and we have Protestant. And then within Protestant, we have tens of thousands of Protestant denominations. Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Assemblies of God, whatever. We got thousands of them. And all of them have slightly different beliefs. Then we have groups that actually claim to be Christian, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they're similar to Christian. They have buildings like Christians. They have meetings and so on. They talk about Jesus. They use many of the same words we do, but they say they're right and we're all wrong. The Christian church is wrong. They're right, right? And so everybody has the truth and the others are wrong. And so what that tends to produce in people is a feeling of confusion and a feeling of being lost. And you end up just kind of saying, well, you know, nobody really knows for sure. Hence the title of my message today. Can anybody know for sure? And because things are this way, and they've been this way for the last maybe 30 years and getting worse, we have the condition of relativism today, which is very rampant. Relativism is just the belief that everything's relative. And most everybody believes in relativism to some extent today. People even say, well, that's true for you, but that's not true for me. Have you heard this? I mean, I argue with people and they'll say this a lot. That's true for you, but not for me. That's your truth. So if you like your religion and stuff, that's your truth. I don't believe in that, and this is my truth. And that's just super common today. And it's interesting, and it's kind of strange, really, because if you think about it, there's really a lot of other areas in life where that would be nuts. You couldn't say that's your truth and this is my truth. Like, you don't take banking. The bank tells you what's in your account. You don't say, well, that's your truth. That's not my truth. I believe I have a lot more in there. Look again. I believe there's more. No, you don't. You don't tell somebody that you owe money to, your mortgage or whatever. You don't say, well, I think I've paid you enough. That's my truth. We don't do it in the financial realm. Is that company a good company to buy stock in or not? You want your stockbroker or whatever, your advisor, to give you the truth. When you go to the doctor, you want him to give you the truth. If it's cancer, you don't want him saying, well, it's just a headache. Here, take an aspirin. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Sometimes I don't think we can. We want the truth about so many areas of life, you know? And yet, in religion and morality, we say there is no truth. I mean, when you go to a reference book, that's not the Encyclopedia Britannica's truth, and you have other truth. You want the truth. You read an article, you watch the news, you want the truth. You know, that's the way we are in so many other areas, and yet only in religion and morality we say it's all relative. Nobody can know. It's just personal preference. The world's not like that. The world has hard and fast, unbending rules. And I've found you either go along with reality or it bites you in the you-know-where, right? Reality will bite you. Reality is reality. It used to be, by the way, I studied this in one of my courses. They were talking about how it used to be that wisdom was trying to learn what reality was like so you could conform your life to it. Nowadays, they're not teaching that. They're not saying reality's like this. You better catch on and go along. They're saying, you make reality whatever you want it to be. But that's just not the way it is. We know a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of different diets. My doctor just put me on one. My daughter's a dietitian. She says, Dad, that diet's no good. But the doctor told me, I told him, my daughter's a dietitian. He said, don't listen to her. My daughter said, Dad, don't listen to him. I know what I'm talking about. And so it's interesting, you know. But there's differences in diet, but we do know you can't drink poison, right? We know a lot of things. You need to have a balanced diet. We know exercise is good, right? A little exercise is good. And so why do we think that it's different in terms of religion or morality? Why do we do that? Why? We think today, basically, it's pretty much accepted by almost everybody that you can't say for sure this is right and this is wrong. You just can't do that. You can't say this is good and this is bad. This is true or this is false. Most people really get riled if you say stuff like that. You're not allowed. Like, you know, for example, I've studied Islam extensively. I've read the whole Quran. I have shelves of books on Islam. I've been to Muslim countries. I say Islam is an evil religion. It's of the devil. It's wrong. It's bad. People say, Pastor, you can't say that. They're good people. I'm not talking about the people. Let me ask you something. Are Venezuelans good people? I'd say, sure, there's good Venezuelans and bad. They're just like any people, right? I don't hate Venezuelans, but I'll tell you, they got themselves into a mess by voting for a socialist government, and they're suffering for it. Do I hate Venezuelans? Am I judging them? No, I'm telling you, the system that they got into is not working. That's not a good system. I can tell you, that's a bad system. Other systems are better systems. I can say it, but people today are shocked by that, and they go, you can't say that. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things we can know. There's a lot of things we can know. And there's a lot of things we do know. For example, you cannot spend more than you make and do it for long term. You can't spend more than you make. I know that. You can't come up to a curve like when we go home, we're on Homosassa Trail and it says 35 miles an hour. You can't hit that at 100 miles an hour. You can't make it. You won't make it. I know 2 + 2 = 4. I know when you build a building, you got to do the foundation first. You can't put the building down and then say, oh, we forgot the foundation. Here, let's bust up the walls and pour the foundation. You can't do that, right? I know that you can't decide to jump off buildings. When our daughter was 4, our oldest, we said, where's Sarah? Where's Sarah? We're looking for Sarah. We came out. There was Sarah on the peak of our roof, and she had these pieces of cardboard box that she taped to her arms, and she said, look, Daddy, I'm going to jump. And we said, no, Sarah, don't jump. No, I can fly. I have these. No, Sarah, don't jump. And thank God she listened to us. You can't jump off of buildings with a couple of cardboard wings. Thou shalt be paced on the ground. Right? You don't touch live electrical wires. There's a way to bake a cake. These things are known. You know, scientists launched a satellite, a space probe I was reading about in January of 06. And in January of 2019, January 1st, 2019, it passed a small planetoid out beyond Pluto, more than 2 billion miles out. It came right by it. And they knew that was going to happen. They planned it 13 years in advance. Really, more than 13, at least 15, because they had to do all the planning. Scientists know where those planets will be. We know these things. Sure, we don't know everything, but we know a lot. And I'm saying, what I'm trying to get across today is this. When it comes to morality or spirituality, we can know stuff too. We don't know everything. There's lots of mysteries in the Bible. But we can know plenty. We can know what we need to know. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children. We can know. You can know the Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. They're good, solid principles for life. They produce good results. I'll tell you this. You think about it. Wherever individuals or societies or whole nations try to apply basic biblical principles, it has produced good results. I got books on it. Many volumes on this. Where civilizations or people apply biblical principles, it produces good results. Why do you think Europe became the nursery for democracy and for capitalism and for so much that has blessed the world? Sure, they had their religious wars and they had all kind of other stuff. Why did science start in Western Europe? It's a biblical foundation that did it. Certain truths, certain ways of thinking produce better results than others. Why is the United States the most prosperous nation in the world? There's a reason for that. It wasn't by an accident. And if we'll stay on the right course, we'll stay prosperous. If we don't, we'll go down. You can watch this. You can predict it. We can understand principles. Have you ever watched anything about the 2008 financial crash? Man, it's interesting. They'll tell you, it just depends on who's talking. We'll tell you why it happened. Have you seen this? You see this one expert and he tells you it was this. You see one, you see Democrats and they'll say this. You listen to Republicans, they'll say that. And there's all kind of opinions, but I submit to you, there were financial principles which were violated around about 2006, 7, 8 that caused that crash. And some people who study these things know what they were. And sometimes they don't even want you to know what they were. But there are principles you can find out. And as I say, I mentioned Venezuela already, but there are principles. Socialism does not work. It's been tried. It doesn't work because it's against human nature. It fails. Governments don't take better care of you than you take care of yourself. It's just a fact. And so it's not always easy to discern what's true. I'll admit that. Sometimes it's really hard to figure stuff out. And it's not easy to know what's right or what's best or what's wrong, what's worse. But I'll tell you what, it is out there to find it if you look for it. People may disagree with it when you find it and you start saying it. I found it was this. No, that's not it. No, that's not true. You can't believe. They'll argue with the truth, but that doesn't mean the truth doesn't exist. All right, now, how do I bring this home to the spiritual dimension? Here's what I'm trying to say today, and I think it's very important. Number one, all religions or beliefs are not equally right or true. I'm going to say that again. All religions or beliefs are not equally right or true. I'm sorry if that offends you. It's a fact. Some work and some don't. Some are in line with God's word and some are not. And we can find out. Just think about this for a minute. There's this little way I heard or read about that you can like kind of simplify world religions. Hinduism and Buddhism believe in what's called pantheism. And so what that means, what you reduce that to three words, God is all. God is all. He is you and me. He is the sky. He is the earth. He is the universe. God is all. That's Hinduism, Buddhism. It's called pantheism. Well, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam say, no, God is not all. God made all. He's the creator, but he's not the universe. He's separate from it. And then atheists and materialists and folks like that, they say, no God at all. So it's either God is all, or it's God made all, or there's no God at all. They don't agree. A lot of folks today will tell you, well, basically all religions teach the same thing. No, they don't. Folks say, well, you know, they differ in some peripherals, but in the major sense, they all teach the same thing. No, they don't. I've studied them. They teach contradictory things, completely contradictory. If they agree at all, it's only in the periphery, not in the essentials. So which one of these is right? See, which is right? Is there a way to figure it out? I submit to you there is. I won't get into it now, but there is. And then there's folks who say God is absolute oneness. He's oneness. They're called the Apostolic Christian Church. And then also the Jews and the Muslims say God is absolutely one. And then Christians say no. He's not. He's a plurality. He's a trinity. Well, it's either one or the other. It can't be both. There's people who say, well, the whole Bible is the word of God, Old Testament and New. Jewish people say, no, only the Old Testament is the word of God. Christian people say both. And then Muslims say, no, that's been corrupted. The Quran is the word of God. Hindus say the Vedas are the word of God. And some other folks say none of them are the word of God. There is no word of God. They're atheists. Or they say it's some other philosophy, Marxism or whatever. This is what we should live by. They're not all true. What philosophy is right? What religion is right? Which of them? And the way we find out is by looking at the evidence. Which one has the most evidence to support it? And which one produces the best results? Let me ask you something. What's the world like in the Muslim worldview compared to the world in Western Europe and America? Can you see any difference? Why would that be? You're a racist, Pastor. You're against Arabs. Oh, no. Same as way I'm not against Venezuelans. I speak Spanish. I've been to Venezuela. Not against the people. Talking about the thoughts, the mindset, the philosophy. What produced the best? Which religion? I've been to Cambodia and Vietnam. That's Buddhism. What does that produce? What does Christianity produce? can you know? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God but by me. And I submit to you, there's more evidence for believing in him. See, only Judaism and Christianity, as we already have talked about in the previous weeks, are founded on miracles. Judaism, Moses went on the mountain. God came down. God gave him his words. God did miracles. That's what Judaism was founded on. Then came Christianity, sort of a flowering of Judaism. We were on the same trunk of the tree. It was founded by the miracles that Jesus did. And then he rose from the dead, the greatest miracle. And then his apostles did miracles. And so miracles were to say, hey, this is God speaking. Because just like Nicodemus said to Jesus, he said, Master, we know no one could do the signs you do if God were not with him. The miracles say that the messenger is speaking for God. No miracles? Probably not from God. Muhammad had no miracles. Joseph Smith of Mormonism had no miracles. The Bible was founded, Christianity was founded on miracles. Then the New Testament is the most reliable book of antiquity that we have. And I'll talk about that more later on, but there's more evidence for it. It's more believable than any other book of antiquity. So with the bottom line here, I'm saying, all religions are not the same. All beliefs are not the same. The Christian gospel has the greatest evidence, better evidence, a better foundation than any other religion or belief system. Not only that, Christianity shaped the Western world. Which part of the world has democracy? Where did that come from? Democracy came within the Western world, Western Europe. So did capitalism. It evolved out of Northern Italy with the Christian monks and so forth. That's how it happened. That's where banking came from. That's where insurance came from. Science and the scientific method was founded in the Western world, nowhere else. It came through Christian mindset, Christian worldview. Am I saying we're better people? No, please hear me. We're not better people. We were privileged to have the truth. Jesus is the truth. When you get the truth, it works in life. It produces better results. That's what I'm saying. Now, the different branches of Christianity, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Anglican, Protestant, the thousands of denominations of Protestants. Remember this, folks, please. They're not different religions. Baptists are not a different religion from Presbyterians, from Episcopalians, Assemblies of God, Church of God. They're not different religions. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, those are different religions. Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Community Church, they're just different expressions of one religion, Christianity. You got tens and fives and twenties in your wallet. They're just different denominations of American money. They're all green, right? And so you need to know that. There are differences between the different churches. Yes, some immerse you. Some sprinkle you. We have a font over here. I'm used to immersing people. All right? You do it different ways. Will that determine you going to heaven or hell? No. Those are peripheral things. What we need to do is focus on the essentials. Anybody, listen to me now. I'm telling you, anybody who will seriously study the Bible can find out the essentials. You can know them. They're not impossible. I read the New Testament in 2 weeks when I became a Christian. It's not like the Encyclopedia Britannica. You can read it in a couple weeks. I've got a chart that shows how many hours it takes to read the Bible. People say, you've read the whole Bible, Pastor? Yeah. It's just that thick. It's just a book. The Mueller report, I think, was 500,000 pages. I don't know. What was it? I was just hearing on the news, this guy was saying, I read the whole thing so that I could tell you about it. No, it was a TED talk I saw. The guy said he read 539,000. Listen, folks, it's just a book. You can read it. If you'll read it, if you'll study it, you can find out what the major things are. Yeah, there's lots of stuff you won't understand. We still wrestle with, but you can know the major things because God knows how to speak and how to write and how to communicate. And he gave it to us in the Bible. Okay, and he tells us the main things over and over in lots of different ways. In the back of your hymnal, you have the Apostles' Creed. That's a little distilled thing that the early Christians made to express what the major issues were. When we read that, you're saying the major things of Christianity that you got to know and that everybody knows. 2.2 billion Christians, most of us, we agree on those. God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus Christ is His Son. He sent Him, and by the Holy Spirit He did miracles, and He died, was crucified. He was born of a virgin and conceived by the Spirit and crucified, dead and buried. And then He rose from the dead and He ascended into heaven, and He's going to come back. You can know those things. We got powerful evidence for those things. And the most essential truth of all that I want to end with today is this. When you read that Apostles' Creed and you read that New Testament, you come to understand, I believe in the forgiveness of sins and in the life everlasting. Do you believe that? You can know that that's for you. You can know that Jesus died for you, and if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. You can know that you can that you're forgiven. Hello? You can know if you're forgiven or not. You know if you've ever asked for forgiveness. If I say, do you ever ask God for forgiveness? You wouldn't say, well, I don't know. Well, you offended your brother that time. Did you go over there and ask him for forgiveness? Well, I don't know. I hope I did. Did you ask him for forgiveness? When we teach my little grandkids are here with me today. I'm glad to so glad to have these little guys. You teach your kids. You hurt your brother. Now you go tell him you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. Did you ask him? I hope so. Folks, today you say, do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know you're a Christian? Well, I hope so. Do you know you're going to go to heaven? I hope so. I think so. I kind of believe so. Now, I believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the life everlasting. Do you believe in the forgiveness of sins? Did Jesus die for your sins or not? Can you ask Him to forgive you or not? If you ask Him, can you believe that He does it or not? Well, I don't know if He'll forgive me. Because I just don't know. You can't see Him. You can't feel Him. I don't know if He forgave me. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. He will forgive you. Do you believe that or not? Faith is believing that, trusting that. I believe in my forgiveness. I ask Christ to forgive me, and I'm new now. I'm forgiven. I'm a new creature in Him. I'm forgiven, and I've got everlasting life. I want to give you two scriptures, and I'll wrap up. You see, John 20, 30 and 31. I preached a sermon on that a couple weeks ago. It says, these things in the New Testament were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, and that believing you might have life in His name. That's why it was written, so that you could believe and so that you could know you have life. In the other scripture, 1 John 5, 11 and 12. This is the witness. God has given us life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever doesn't have the Son doesn't have the life. You can know if you've asked forgiveness. You can know if you've received forgiveness. You can know if you've been born again. People are not born and not know it. Have you ever been born? Well, I'm not sure. I hope so. You got to be born again. Jesus said it. Have you been born or not? The Bible says the Spirit that the salvation is a gift, the gift of God. Have you received the gift or not? You imagine you send a gift to your cousin in New York or something, and then you call him 2 weeks later and say, did you get that gift I sent you? And he says, well, I don't know. I hope so. Dude, did you get it or not? You know if you received the gift. The Bible also speaks about salvation like marriage. We become one spirit with the Lord. If you got married, you should know it. Unless you were in Vegas or something. Did I get married? I don't know, man. You will know it if you've received Christ. You will know if you're married. You know? Can you be a little bit pregnant? Can you say, well, I'm not fully a Christian, but I'm sort of a Christian. I think I'm partially a Christian. Nah, it's like pregnancy. You either are or you ain't. Which is it? I'm going to close, but what I'm saying, look, these things are true. They're reality. They're not opinions. It's not preference like, well, I like chocolate, you like vanilla. I'm a Christian, you're a Muslim. It's all equal. No, it's not like that. These are essential realities. You can know them personally yourself. The question is, can anyone know the truth for sure? That's the question of this message. The answer is an absolute and unqualified yes. You can know, and let me tell you what, you must know. And all it takes is sincere searching of the Word of God, and I'm going to be preaching that Word the next weeks and months here. I'm going to be preaching that Word so you can get this and you'll know this. You seek that Word, you talk to God yourself, your own personal prayer, and you can know these things. My question for you as I close is, Will you? Will you seek God till you're sure? Will you look into this? Till you know that you know that you know I'm forgiven. I've got eternal life. I'm going to be with God when I die. I pray you will. Would you stand, please, for our hymn of invitation?